Number six, Brick House Podcast, Matt.
Wow.
We're so close.
This is great. This is great.
Super contenders now. This would be good for fifth in the West. And it could go to any one of three or four teams, but we had to pick one, and we're picking the Oklahoma City Thunder today. They could be the number one seed in the Western Conference for all we know, but we got them here at number five for sake of the previews.
Yep.
I'm Bob Johnson.
Hey, I'm Matt Baker.
Oh, you know, we have ways to contact us now.
Oh, wow.
We've got bob@brickhousepodcast.com if you wanted to email any questions, critiques. Critiques you can keep to your fucking self now that I think of it. But, you know, if you want to compliment us, that's bob@brickhousepodcast.com.
Well, we always want to be people that are learning and growing. So if you have a relevant critique, I suppose.
Yeah, you could send those to Matt.
Yeah.
@brickhousepodcast.com.
Is that a thing?
I'll bake it for you, buddy.
Hey.
We'll make it by the time this one hits the airwaves. And also, we have a Twitter handle now, @brickhousepod.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tweet us, you can follow us, you can compliment us there.
Fair
for
enough.
A public forum. You can tell us how much you like this breakdown of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Matt, for your enjoyment and for those who downloaded this podcast, I'm going to see how many romantic comedies I can use to describe
Goodness.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
I love a good rom-com.
do?
I do.
Okay. Well, tell me how many of these you've seen as we go.
Okay.
Okay. So 500 Days of Summer.
Yes.
Is where we're going to kick it off.
Okay.
The reason it's rom-coms is because I feel like the Thunder, they really got to nail it down with Kevin Durant this year. He's going to be a free agent this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't woo him.
She's just going to marry that businessman from uptown.
If they like it, they better put a ring on it. But 500 Days of Summer. So KD said this whole time, he's been open, like Zooey Deschanel, that he's going to weigh his options when free agency comes. Zooey D, she was always up front with Joseph Gordon-Levitt saying that she didn't really believe in love.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, but maybe it's different with me, you know?
Of course.
And the Thunder, they have no other way to think about it, you know, to be optimistic, but they have to think to themselves like, KD, you know, maybe he's gonna date other teams, but hopefully he's gonna come back to me.
Right.
We're gonna fall in love
when he sees those other teams treating him wrong.
Yeah, this is only one possible future, and Thunder fans, don't get mad at me, but if you've seen 500 Days of Summer, there's heartbreak involved, you know, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt never really sees it coming, but he really should have because it was obvious to anyone else watching.
Right.
Another maybe my favorite romantic comedy of all time, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm comparing the Thunder to this because the franchise would like KD and all of the fans to erase the memory of James Harden ever playing for the team, you know. Just for the sake of keeping KD around, you know, having the relationship with the fans be better, especially if KD leaves, you know, they're going to need to wipe their fans' memories that, you know, they're really responsible for shipping out James.
One of the best players in the NBA right now. We never had him. No, we never had him. What are you talking about? He was drafted by the Rockets, and he's been on the Rockets the entire time.
He's been dating Elijah Wood this entire time.
Yeah.
Another rom-com. This one, I gotta admit, I haven't seen, but I'm just gonna say Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Is how Seattle basketball fans would be signing Dear Abby letters.
Yeah.
You know, people that are writing in, they miss their basketball team, and it really doesn't help that the Thunder moved to Oklahoma City of all places and then got, you know, the second best basketball player in the world and been doing really well. Number four, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh,
okay.
Man, that's one of my favorites.
Oh,
I think of the Apatow movies might be my favorite.
Nice. Well, I think this could be another possible future. So OKC fans and the franchise is really, really head over heels for Kevin Durant, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Sarah Marshall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're really pissed off and afraid that they could lose Sarah Marshall to Russell Brand.
Yeah.
You know, who I would say is the Lakers.
sure.
in this metaphor, or whoever takes him.
Whoever a fast-talking team is.
You know, but what the franchise might be doing to its detriment, while they're spending all this time focused on KD, Sarah Marshall, they're forgetting that they have a way hotter option in Mila Kunis. Russell Westbrook. You know, you don't want to ruin any chance you have with Mila Kunis.
Right.
Do you?
Okay.
So that's something to keep in mind. Remember, they have Mila Kunis playing point guard for them. So don't overlook her, Russell. And the last one, let's just say, is Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh,
with,
man.
Angelina Jolie yeah. and Brad Pitt. This just describes the relationship between Durant and Westbrook, because if you watch them on the floor, sometimes it looks like they're best friends, and then 90 seconds later, it looks like they want to kill each other. Much like Brad Brangelina.
But in the end, when those vicious San Antonio Spurs come to town, they forget, they drop all the anger, and they start playing together as a team.
Perfect. Perfect.
No love for 27 dresses?
I haven't seen that one. Let's watch that immediately after recorded this.
Yes.
But let's get to the previously on.
Previously on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
So it says here that Oklahoma City Thunder were something called the Seattle Supersonics, which I don't know what that means.
Yeah, maybe you should Eternal Sunshine that away.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's just a giant Wikipedia hoax that they used to be a team in Seattle, but for all I know, they've always been in Oklahoma City.
Learned to play basketball with a tumbleweed.
Yeah. So the Thunder, basically, they descended upon Oklahoma City in Durant's second year. So they already, it was just, if you're going to get a team to move to your city, they won the team move to the city lottery.
No kidding.
That would be like, I guess it would be like a team moving to Los Angeles with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Like we already, we're just going to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And then that second year, they got Westbrook right after. It's perfect. Westbrook, then they got Harden. I mean, it was...
Andy Baca.
Yeah, Andy Baca. This past offseason, they gave Enes Kanter the money that James Harden was not good enough to get. Ugh. And they spent the past 4 years making it to the conference finals, at least in three of those years, and yep. losing in the semifinals one of those years. Then they followed that up this year. This past year with a Kevin Durant injury and no playoffs. It's, I guess injuries haven't been as big to the Thunder as they have to the Bulls.
Injuries have knocked them out of the playoffs the past 3 years.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, in a way you're right. They have been. Scotty Brooks fell victim to the old injury / you're not doing good enough. See you later.
Yeah. I think Sam Presti in 2012, when they're in the finals against the Heat, you know, they won game one and then lost four in a row to the Heat. But people thought that trio of Harden, Westbrook, and Durant was going to be back in the finals all the time. Presti must have thought that Westbrook and Durant were so good that Harden was expendable, or that they could, you know, draft another ace in the hole.
Well, and they
like
just
him.
Didn't want to potentially lose Harden for nothing. They traded Harden for nothing.
Oh, yeah, and their owners also didn't want to spend a dollar over the luxury tax, too, which is the only way teams win the championship in the NBA historically.
Now they have Billy Donovan, which I think could be good. Donovan, he might not be as in your face, and he might not be as overbearing, so you might just let him play.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about who owns this team. Let's get into our next segment. Who's that owner? Clay Bennett, and
he's the chairman of the board of directors.
Yeah, and then the other guy is McClendon, another co-owner. These guys are oil men, specifically frackers, fracking in North America. They're pretty controversial. I've mentioned before that the Orlando Magic owner and Knicks owner were on a Rolling Stones list of worst owners in sports.
Yeah.
Clay Bennett is right behind them at number 6 overall for the worst owners in sports.
I think if someone says the word fracking just in everyday life, Rolling Stone would probably dislike those people. I feel like fracking and Rolling Stone are about as far apart on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just by saying that on this podcast, Rolling Stone has just deemed our podcast one of the worst podcasts.
not a lot of love for fracking from the liberals. That's a good point, Matt. But we're not going to harp on it too much.
I don't really know about fracking, so that's out of my depth.
One thing that's undeniable is it's made these two guys a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
It started with a $50,000 investment. They made Chesapeake Energy, now the second biggest oil producer in North America behind Exxon, and they have 10,000 workers, $11 billion in revenue in 2011. They had the highest paid CEO a couple years ago, paid himself $128 million. They are controversial, one, because of their methods of acquiring land. They've been taking just like tens of billions of dollars in loans to acquire this land which they have so much at this point, it would take them 30 years to frack it all.
Wow.
Anyways.
But also, you don't make a whole bunch of money without skirting the rules a little bit, I would imagine. That's the
without
reason...
killing a few babies with cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, killing the babies who have cancer or killing them with cancer?
Giving them that old frack cancer.
Yeah,
frack cancer. you know, the other way that they're obviously controversial is they, like many owners, agreed to buy the team in Seattle and then in good faith said that they would try to keep them there.
Yeah.
Turns out that... you know, they had a series of emails that were later leaked that they had no intention.
Of course not.
McClendon was actually fined by David Stern because he said publicly, we didn't buy the team to keep them in Seattle.
So maybe these guys are justified to be on that worst owner list. That's a pretty brutal thing.
Yeah, yeah. Not only that, they are, you know, as frackers, they give a bunch of money to Republicans and studies that deny climate change.
Yeah. As someone who really I really liked the Sonics, and I liked their jerseys, and I liked Kemp and Peyton. It was really a shame to see them go, because I do root for the Thunder now. I want them to win, but there's just something, the whole Sonics thing really did it for me. I really liked them.
Yeah, they do definitely have one of the most exciting teams in the NBA now. Let's get into who plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And now, the starting lineup for your Oklahoma City Thunder!
I feel like they like Nick Collison so much, they already drafted his replacement in Mitch McGarry.
Yeah.
They want him to be Collison and learn under Collison while he's there.
Yeah, might as well. They drafted Cameron Payne this year.
Oh, right. Point guard.
Point guard. Because they needed a backup.
Moorhead or something?
Murray State, I believe. Okay. They needed a backup because Reggie Jackson signed that huge contract. But also, you got to think it, one backup, but two, you got to start prepping now in case Westbrook leaves.
Right.
Westbrook, Durant, Ibaka, I don't think we need to talk about them. Those guys are locked in. They have the center battle between Steven Adams and James Harden, Money Cantor.
Yeah, you know, Billy Donovan said recently that he plans on starting Adams over Cantor and Andre Roberson over Deion Waiters.
Yeah, it's great because if you want to get the best out of Deion Waiters, you got to make sure that you make him upset and don't start him.
Yeah, if you want to spend $75 million, you want to spend it on a backup power forward.
Hey, that's good. That if Donovan really thinks Adams is better than Cantor, then he should start him. Just because the guy's making a ton of money, which could be a mistake, you don't want to just give him we have to start him.
Yeah. And Cantor did play pretty well with Westbrook last season. It's too early to judge him too harshly. We think he sucks, but he's got to prove us wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say he sucks. I just don't think it's tough when he's already in trouble because he got the money Harden didn't get. We've said that three times because that's the obvious thing to say.
I plan on watching a lot of Thunder games.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I expect Kevin Durant to put his foot up the NBA's ass this year.
Oh.
I expect him to return firmly back to his second best, at least player in the league. He looks healthy in preseason now.
Yeah.
And man, you know, they had him ranked by ESPN, had him ranked like 7. Last year, coming off the injuries, and he just never had a season like last year where he's got to be, he seems like the kind of player who's just lives to ball and not being able to help his team and see them miss the playoffs with him only playing 27 games. He is ready to show the league what's up.
Well,
and,
this
you know,
is...
you got Steph Curry, James Harden, sort of leapfrogging him
yeah.
in the national mind's eye. He wants to remind
even Westbrook
everyone.
Might in the league's eye might
oh,
leapfrog.
Yeah.
And this is where the great ones they see that Durant's by no means old, but even if you're young, the window could still close, and Durant has got to see that this window is closing quickly.
Definitely.
And it's now or never. So this is when the great ones see now or never, that's when it's time to really step up.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of the NBA, these two teammates, where they are right now, both healthy, Westbrook and Durant are on par with, like, Jordan and Pippen. Kobe and Shaq.
As far as combined
amazing players.
Yeah, as far as combined talent, it's
Stockton Malone, you want to say.
Right. Jordan Pippen works so well because Jordan was amazing and Pippen was the perfect complement.
Right.
You could even say that combined talent of Westbrook and Durant is better than Jordan and Pippen. I'm saying literally combined talent. I'm not saying as a duo.
Yeah.
I still think Jordan and Pippen would probably beat them as a duo, but just talent-wise.
It seems like if Westbrook can play with just the right balance, you know, there's a lot of people that criticize the way Westbrook plays point guard. But as far as the mentality, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, man, I always call him Russell Westbrook. They really seem to, like, personality-wise, have a real complementary, like, yin and yang to them. Mm-hmm. You know, Westbrook being the crazy, wild, extrovert, and Durant being the silent, 7-foot assassin, you know?
And if you're going to be two alphas, at least they complement each other. It's kind of the perfect alpha storm.
Yeah, it's not even like Kevin Durant's taking a back seat. He's just being himself.
Yeah.
Which is seemingly, you know, pretty mellow. Although Draymond Green, one of my favorite players and my favorite shit talker, was saying recently that Kevin Durant is one of the best shit talkers in the league.
Like a under the radar. When it doesn't look like he is.
Man, you know, the way he shoots threes, so excited to watch him again, you know?
Yeah.
When he is lighting it up and making threes with ease, like 5-6 feet behind the three-point line. I mean, we all freaked out, loved watching Steph Curry shoot the ball last mm-hmm. year. But Durant, it just looks even stranger for someone you know, Kevin Garnett's size to be stroking it like that. And I could definitely see him just happily talking shit. I mean, if you could just throw bombs in the way he can, I mean, what can people say to you?
Right.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
But so how many games do we think they're going to win? Let's get into the next segment.
Record prediction.
Well, I guess it's not fair to judge them off 45 wins. So let's say 45 wins didn't exist. The previous full year, they won 59 games. The year before that, they won 60 games.
Wow. Okay, so what do you think they win in 2016?
I'll say 57 wins.
57. I got them at the same record as Grizzlies and Bulls. Maybe it's a cop out, but
56?
I really think they're all going to be right around the 56 range.
Yeah.
But we'll see. 56 and 57.
There's just, so like we said with the Grizzlies, the West just has so many moving parts, and they all have to play each other that the difference of talent between 60 and 55, just because one team wins 60 and the other wins 55 doesn't mean the 60 is that much better than the 55 win team.
Right, right.
It's just because they're all playing each other and it's just a mess, a fun mess, mess.
I'm excited for the whole season to unfold, of course, but man, Western Conference playoffs, you can already, you know, just salivate at the idea of who the matchups are going to be.
Yep.
So many good teams out West. But we have to talk about the best player who's still out East. The obligatory LeBron James match.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
So one of the things that LeBron does similar to Michael Jordan, he does a lot of things similar to Michael Jordan, or always compared, even if they don't want to be. But one of the things MJ used to do was befriend the other superstars in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the night before the games, they'd get to their city, take them out to eat, you know, sort of soften them up a bit. Mm-hmm. And Magic Johnson talked about how Michael Jordan used to do that. You know, his best friend was Charles Barkley during the height of both of their careers. And so a couple summers ago, I heard about LeBron James and Kevin Durant were working out together. They're spending their summer working out together. And then, you know, that was the summer right before KD won the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people might be thinking, oh, maybe LeBron's giving away too many of these insider secrets, you know, a four-time MVP winner himself. But, yeah, Jordan always liked to befriend these guys so they'd supposedly loosen up and make it easier for them to bow down and, you know, just lose to him.
Yeah.
And LeBron just said in the news a few days ago that if he ever sees his opponent is wearing his signature LeBron shoes, then he feels like he already has a mental advantage over that player.
Right.
And that Michael Jordan used to be the same way.
Makes sense.
Someone was wearing their shoes, they're like, I got this guy.
Yeah.
You know, like we were saying, mentally already won the battle before it's begun.
Right.
But, you know, one of the differences, though, is Jordan was a psychopath. And, you know, when Magic was describing his intentions, it was this calculated, way of manipulating the competition
right.
to get any, shred of advantage that he could possibly have. With LeBron, you know, you could look into it like that, but I think mostly LeBron just enjoys having friends.
Yeah.
You know? And
it's lonely on the top. Yeah. Lonely for the king.
You know, especially the guy who's the best basketball player in the world. You know, he has all his friends from high school managing him and representing him as an agent and stuff. He likes to surround
definitely
himself.
Giving him great, great advice, I would imagine.
It's going well, actually.
Yeah.
Just a lot better than people predicted. But
right.
While he's tight with all his friends and family, you got to think, like, as the best basketball player in the world, you would probably, the person that you relate to the most in that regard would be the second best basketball player
True.
In the world.
Yeah. And that's why, like, when President Obama was thinking about giving the go-ahead to get bin Laden, who did he call? President Bush and President Clinton. Because they were the only...
Oh, I thought you were going to say LeBron and KD.
Yeah, LeBron and KD. No, because...
Guys, let's go play some 3-on-3 against bin Laden.
Yeah, we got this. No, it's because you reach a certain level where not many people can relate to what you're going through. So you have to find people that are within that realm, you know?
That's a cool comparison. I was going to compare it to a Jason Siegel interview I heard on the WTF podcast.
Sure, same comparison in my eyes.
But he was basically saying, like... You know, he can't really talk to regular people about his problems.
Right.
Because, you know, no one wants to.
Because they're not problems.
Yeah, no one wants to hear that a rich celebrity has problems. So he was saying that he could only really talk to guys like Jonah Hill.
Yeah. Right.
About what it's like to be, super successful and still, you know, not happy all the time.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we got just six more questions for Matt.
Oh, man.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
Opening up a lot of eyes with these answers, the personal anecdote section. This one was inspired by the Thunder, inspired by the two alphas with completely different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt... As people know by now, is a man of many opinions, and he's not shy. He's got two super successful podcasts.
Oh, man.
But, you know, if we were to categorize your personality between two extreme poles, I think, you know, like autism, what I'm about to talk about is more of a spectrum
sure.
than either or. But, you know, for the sake of comparison to Westbrook and Durant, let's say there's extroverts and introverts. Really outgoing people versus more thoughtful people, whatever you want to say.
Okay. Not to say that outgoing people aren't thoughtful.
I don't know why I'm trying to answer this question for you. Let me just ask you. So, you know, if I had to categorize you as one of these two, I'd say you're more the introvert.
Okay.
But my question is, what do you think has shaped your personality to be this way? Obviously, you've made some decisions about, you know, what's important to you and what sort of person to be. So I'm interested, maybe, you know, take us through how you came to this and you know, what you like about you know, carrying yourself in this way, and then also what you think of extroverts. You know, since you chose, you know, not to be on that end of the spectrum,
right.
Do they upset you, or you understand?
I mean, yes, I cry whenever I meet an extrovert.
I'm trying to
set
the record for how long I could take to ask a simple question.
Remember, we get paid by the second around here.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I guess like most people, your parents have a lot to do with it. My parents aren't extroverts. I mean, my dad is great with the dumb dad jokes and the saying dumb things to see if they stick. But that I wouldn't classify him as extrovert per se. He you know, let's not mistake outgoing friend wise for being extrovert. Like, you mean extrovert in a big, like, take up a lot of space in the room area.
Well, like I said, yeah, there's different levels of
right,
each one.
My parents are not extroverts, but they're by no means in a group setting, sit in a corner and like, I'm not here. So I was sort of shy, I guess. I was fairly shy as a young lad.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember where it was, when it was, but I remember when I kind of figured out how you can make people laugh without like being big and gigantic.
Yeah.
And that always appealed to me a lot more because I also enjoyed if I made jokes and people didn't get it. If something didn't land, I realized that it wasn't a critique on me personally as much as maybe I just needed to shape it different, or maybe people just didn't understand what I was trying to say.
Maybe people shouldn't be so damn dumb.
That's the main underlying statement. It takes a lot more energy to be outgoing, so why not just say something as monotone as possible, keep that energy in the bank, because I might need to run away from a murderer or something.
Yeah.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Top five and one of my favorite teams. They had, I think, the biggest surprise superstar and MVP candidate last year. How did he spend his summer vacation? We're going to talk about how he's got a new girlfriend, how he got super drunk on TMZ, and how he's getting paid them shoe contract dollars. Swag. On the next episode of Brick House. Thank you.